9 coastal communities, large and small, from Anchorage to Ketchikan, are permitted by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to disperse treated wastewater from municipal sewer systems into the ocean. The Federal Clean Water Act requires municipal wastewater discharges meet both primary and secondary treatment levels. The first, or primary stage, uses gravity to separate solids from liquids. The second uses filters, bacteria, or some other process to break down organic waste. For decades, these communities have had EPA waivers allowing them less than full secondary treatment for wastewater, but that could be changing. Gene McCabe is the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation's program manager for the Wastewater Discharge Authorization Program. He says guidance has evolved over the last 2 decades to ensure that mixing zones are issued consistently and permitted to be as small as practically possible.
What's changed is the fact that we need to establish for any proposed mixing zone we would need for the bacteria, which obviously we do, that we go through this process of establishing, has the permitted facility done everything that's practicable prior to requesting the use of a mixing zone to meet the water quality standards?
Petersburg's primary processing includes running waste through screens and clarification tanks to remove solids before it's pumped out into a mixing zone in Frederick Sound. The levels of fecal coliform bacteria at the outfall do not meet state water quality standards for collecting shellfish or swimming, but a state-regulated mixing zone dilutes the pollution over a much larger area, lowering bacteria levels. An EPA study from last August modeled the dilution and distances at those mixing zones in Haines, Ketchikan, Petersburg, Sitka, Skagway, and Wrangell. It concluded that much larger areas would be needed to achieve state water quality standards for the maximum permitted output at these sites. And while it's the EPA that issues the discharge permit, the Clean Water Act requires states to certify that there's reasonable assurance that the pollution will meet water quality standards. McCabe says of the 9 plants with EPA waivers, the ones in Southeast are the first to go through this process.
We've been meeting with them regularly along with the EPA and explaining the requirement that we're seeing that we need to have each of these facilities demonstrate what is practicable for reducing the amount of bacteria that they're discharging, to reduce the size or even the need for a mixing zone at all for bacteria.
McCabe says the conversation is not about full secondary treatment unless the EPA decides not to reissue the waivers. Instead, he thinks the plants might be required to disinfect the waste using chlorination and dechlorination, for example, or ultraviolet light. The DEC's Water Division Director Randy Bates wrote to mayors of the communities this month that the reauthorization of the waivers is solely in the EPA's court. Bates wrote that the DEC recognizes the additional costs that more treatment could mean, and he pointed to a state loan program or the federal infrastructure bill as potential sources of funding. Petersburg's utility director Carl Hagerman told the Petersburg Borough Assembly this month that the state is pushing for increased treatment.
It's obvious from the conversation that went on in the meeting that the DEC is completely in favor of moving all primary treatment plants in Alaska, the 9 plants that are left that still have these waivers, to secondary treatment. And while they want to offer that up as a freebie, you know, counting on some federal monies to fall out of the sky and fund all that, they can't guarantee it.
Hagerman told the assembly he doesn't know the cost of the additional treatment, but gave a very rough estimate of around $2 million. If the EPA doesn't reissue waivers and requires full secondary processing, the cost could be much more. Hagerman said, depending on the upgrades required, it could also increase annual budgets.
It will definitely be more than we pay now, and it may extend to staffing, because a lot of secondary treatment plants use a biological system to provide that level of treatment, and that biological system needs to be monitored constantly. And so a lot of secondary plants have 24-hour coverage, and right now we don't. We have 7-day coverage, but only 8 hours a day.
Petersburg's assembly voted unanimously to send a letter to Governor Dunleavy seeking grant money to cover costs of treatment plant upgrades if they're required. In an email, Hagerman writes that the borough tests its discharge water twice a year and the utility operates well under permitted limits for fecal coliform. According to reports in the Petersburg Pilot, the city of Petersburg constructed its wastewater plant with secondary treatment in 1977, but that processing broke down soon after, leading to a lawsuit between the city and the companies that designed and built it. The municipality continued with only primary treatment after receiving a waiver from the EPA. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.